Living or dead, who would you like to eat a meal with or have a meal with?
That's a good question. Who would I have a meal with?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, I'm a filmmaker, so I feel like it'd have to be like a filmmaker.
Okay.
I think the answer to that would be...
Welcome back. I'm Jens Tuin, and this is my podcast. It's pronounced Jens, where in each episode, I have an interesting conversation with a new person. This episode, I speak with my friend Dan. Dan is a filmmaker living here in Los Angeles. We both love movies and cover many aspects of the industry. I also find out that Dan's preference for film is strongly correlated to his relationship status. More on that later. As always, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
On the podcast today, we've got a good friend of mine that I met recently. Dan.
That's right. That's my name.
Dan Galupo. Did I say it correctly?
Galupo. Dan Galupo, yep.
Galupo.
It's Italian. Most people mispronounce it, actually.
They go Galupo?
Galupo, yeah. Like Galupo? Some weird, and they can't spell it. Nobody can spell my name.
Yeah, I know. G-A-L-U-P-P-O.
Yeah, the only one.
I have it here on my computer.
Cheater. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you doing
this episode. It's gonna be good.
I'm excited. It's my first podcast, actually.
Really? You've never done a podcast?
No, I thought about doing it myself.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
No?
I don't know. I'm just glad to be on it. Maybe this will be the threshold that I got to cross.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We'll ease you in to this very amateur podcast.
We'll see if I have the radio voice.
Yeah, exactly.
You just have to go into a deeper register.
Exactly.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to...
Glad to be here.
It's like NPR. Did you ever see SNL?
Yes.
With
yes.
Sweaty Balls.
Oh, gosh. That's my favorite skit.
Dude, I love that.
That's genius writing.
Yeah. It's so good.
That is, my dad would always joke during Christmas time.
Yeah.
He's like, you want some sweaty balls? It's like, Dad, that's not funny when it comes from you. Right. SNL skit's funny. When it comes from you, not so funny.
Not funny, Dad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Do you do your own writing or do you do any writing yourself or...
I've actually tried.
Yeah?
I've actually tried, and I think, like, for the job that I'm doing now, they want me to do a little bit of writing, so I do a lot of, like, pitching and stuff.
Sure.
But I've always avoided writing because I don't think that's my strength.
Sure, yeah.
So I feel like other people are better at it, so I kind of leave it up to them. Yeah. But this job is forcing me to get more into it.
Yeah, definitely. So you do more – what would you consider you do more of? Like, if you're not writing, are you acting? Are you producing?
No, mainly I would say directing. I'm either shooting content or I'm editing.
Sure.
And then when I can, I think my real passion is kind of directing because I feel like, I don't know, I have ideas and I think I see them. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like I have this thing where I see the idea and sometimes I can't explain it to someone.
Right.
So that's where the part that I need to work on is kind of learn how to take that idea that I have.
Yep.
And explain it to someone else.
Sure.
Because that's the hardest part about directing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Just explaining it and then getting everybody around it, kind of casting the vision.
Right.
And then execute it.
Right. I'm learning every day, trust me.
No doubt.
Every day in terms of like how to communicate your idea better.
Sure.
Because everybody has a different way of thinking.
Different creative process.
Different words they use. Exactly. Different creative process. So like one word might mean one thing to somebody and another word they're like, what? I just pitched a project. We're doing a project for the All-Star Game.
Yeah.
We were trying to do a project.
Okay.
And we pitched an idea and the client per se, the people that we needed the permission from, they took it literally. Like I made a storyboard.
Oh yeah.
And they took every frame literally.
Oh.
So, but that was not my intention, right? A storyboard's supposed to show kind of what it's gonna look
like. Right, it's concept art.
Correct. And I think that's what's interesting is everybody has like a different sort of outlook.
Yeah.
It's like when they see a picture, they think that's exactly
what I'm looking at.
But no, it's a pitch. It's like what it might look like.
Sure.
To help you visualize. That's interesting.
That's funny. So are you originally from LA?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. No, okay. No. I was born in Lithuania.
Lithuania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And no way. I got adopted and came to Chicago. So that was like my first state.
Oh.
But in California, I've been here for about 5, going on 6 years now.
Okay. How long were you in Lithuania?
I was in Lithuania for about 10 years, yeah.
Wow. You remember it?
I remember a lot of it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. See, I was born in Germany, but we came over when I was, I think, 2 or 3 or something.
Okay.
And so I don't really remember that part of Germany.
Yeah.
I think my earliest memory is probably the plane ride over.
Was that your first time?
Yeah, because my mom gave me this. My brother and I each got a Playmobil character. Do you know what Playmobil is? It's like, it's European. It's the equivalent.
We're poor. We couldn't probably afford a Playmobil.
It was. It's like an action figure.
Okay.
But it's like a big Lego kind of. I don't know how to explain it. But it was this white Admiral Sailor Cadet outfit, and I remember opening that up on an airplane, and that I think is literally my earliest memory.
That's cool, man. Yeah. The first time I was in a plane, I was 10.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, I didn't have any toys with me.
Yeah, right.
I think I might have had a Game Boy, though. Like, that was the biggest toy that I've ever gotten in my life, because we were, like, poor in Lithuania.
Sure.
So when I got adopted, I got, like, a Game Boy and stuff. And I was on the plane, and I saw, like, squares.
Okay.
And that, to me, was, like, the coolest thing. It blew my mind. It was, like, squares. I was like, how on earth am I seeing squares?
On this screen?
Yeah, it was like the weirdest thing. So weird. I still remember that because it was like such a...
And have you been back since?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I thought about doing it.
Yeah. You still have like family back there?
I got reconnected with them like 5 years after I left.
Okay.
But I've never been back.
Yeah.
I'm planning a Europe trip this year.
Yeah?
Where would you go? I think that's going to be on the list. I'm thinking about hitting Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Think about hitting Amsterdam potentially.
Okay.
Maybe France. Obviously, it's not totally planned yet.
Yeah, no.
But I have some options.
You can just backpack. You just get a ticket and have a little bit of cash and just go.
I need my points though, my credit card points. That's not going to happen. Yeah,
exactly.
It's not going to give me any points.
Right.
And I just got a new credit card, travel credit card.
Does Ryanair do credit card points or something?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. Especially because you can get like 7 euro. It's like super cheap flights.
Really?
Yeah. Like
maybe that's what I need to do.
Yeah. It's like a megabus if you've ever taken megabus here in the States.
No.
I think I took a $1 megabus trip.
Really?
Yeah. I went to school out in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And so you could go to like New York or DC for like a couple bucks.
Dang.
Yeah.
See, that's the way airlines should be.
Right.
I think that's where they're headed.
I think hopefully that's where they're headed.
Eventually, in 100 years or so.
Right.
No, I don't think it's going to happen ever.
It's
getting more expensive, I feel like, travel.
It definitely is. They charge you for everything.
That's the problem, man.
And everything gets smaller and smaller. That's like your allowances, the peanut bags, the bottles of water.
Well, talking about smaller, I was going, I think I was going to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And as a filmmaker, I'm traveling with like a Pelican case, right?
Oh,
like a pretty big Pelican case.
Yeah.
I have all my expensive gear in the Pelican case and I don't want to check it because if you lose that, like what am I going to shoot with, right?
Sure.
So I bring it on the plane and I know it's a little oversized.
Yeah.
At least I thought it was.
Right.
And so I get on the plane and the lady's like, yep, it's oversized. But before it was like, okay, you know, like other times I took it, like a few years back.
Sure.
It would fit, but just barely.
Right.
This time, I don't know why. It was the plane smaller or something.
No.
It didn't fit at all, man.
Like not even close.
Not even close. So I was like, I have to like fix this somehow.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, excuse me, ma'am. She's like super kind. Like she's just seemed like a super kind lady.
Sure.
I was like, hey, like, is this plane full? Like, is there any chance that I could like just keep that on like another chair or something? Because it's so expensive. And I told her, I was like, it's like 10 grand worth of stuff. Like, I can't just put it on the plane and you lose it. And then like my life's over.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, it's 10,000. I'm like, yeah, it's like super expensive. She's like, oh, okay. Well, let's see. I hope we can make that work. So sure enough, like 5 minutes later, I'm like praying. I'm like, oh, please, like, please, please don't be full. And sure enough, she comes back. She goes, yep, there's a seat open. So leave the case on the seat, right? And I'm like, thank God it worked. Then I'm getting off the plane. I grab the case.
Yeah.
Everything falls out.
Oh.
So I guess that was my karma, right? Bringing that on and everything works out. And then, of course, in life, I feel like anytime where everything is working out, right, something bad happens. So sure enough, it all goes all over the place, just like batteries, chargers, this stuff. So I'm collecting this.
Right.
And at the end of it, I'm like the last guy on the plane. And they're like, could you please leave? Like, we need to clean the plane. Yeah, I'm like, ma'am, like, I can't lose anything.
You don't understand. There's like SD cards in here.
Exactly. And so we leave the plane and then I look, you know, check, make sure everything's there. And sure enough, I lost my battery, $150.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, oh no, you gotta be kidding me. So I like run over to the counter. I'm like, ma'am, like, I lost something in this plane. Can I get it back? You know, can I get back on? She's like, well, no, but like, I'll tell the other people to look for it. Sure enough, like, they found it like 3 minutes later.
No.
So it all worked out. But to me, like, that's the scary part.
That's of hectic.
Like, traveling with like expensive stuff.
Right.
You know, like, you can't just check it like any other bag.
Not at all.
So it was scary, but it made me realize you got to travel up. Like, you got to know what the sizes are. Right. And you got to like be on top of that.
Otherwise, and I feel like it varies too. Like, when you go from smaller regional planes, the overhead bin gets smaller. Because, like, if you do an international one, that's, I mean, you can fit like a full size body up there. It's like,
I know, exactly. I feel like the planes are getting smaller now.
But then, yeah, exactly. You start getting these more domestic flights and everything, and then you're kind of SOL with a lot of your baggage.
Now I got a new case though, so now it fits actually. It's up to regulation. I don't have to worry about the next trip.
That's an expensive habit right there, just buying new Pelican cases.
I know. That's not a cheap case.
That's funny though. So you came out to LA to do what?
My intention was I came out to LA to pursue my dream of being a filmmaker. Like, sure. That was my thing.
Yeah.
I was doing DGP back in San Diego, where I went to school, San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came out to LA, no job, just a little savings.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, you know, we support you, but we don't think like that's the best way, you know, because it's very expensive. And I was like, you're right. Yeah. And you don't have a job. You're right. But when I came out here and I said, hey, like, I'm going to figure it out. And so I went on Craigslist, got jobs on Craigslist. And that's kind of how I started. But
no way.
My first feature film that I got on was with a buddy from San Diego State. And he was filming his first feature.
No way.
And that was my like second paid gig after the Craigslist one.
Okay.
In terms of doing like kind of what I wanted to do, which was, you know, AD and direct.
Yeah.
So I AD'd that film for like 15 days, but that was like my entrance to LA, like my first few months.
No way. That's pretty good. I mean, some people wait years.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well. Like, I got lucky because of the connections that I made in school. And, you know, that was once people knew that I was in LA. They were like, hey, are you free? Like, we have this. We have a few projects here. And that just fell into my lap.
That's awesome. That's really good. And so it's pretty much progressed pretty well from there.
It's progressed interestingly because, a lot of it, I mean, it was still a little hard because that was just 15 days. And so once that job was over,
right,
I had to find something else. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were like, you know, go on, staff me up, go on this. But those are all paid services. And for me, I don't want to pay to get a job. Like, it makes no sense. You know what I'm saying? To me, logically,
right,
why would I pay a bunch of dollars just in hopes of getting a job?
Sure.
I'm trying to get paid. So I ended up using Craigslist, Facebook. Those were my two main sources of a way to get a job.
Yeah.
So Craigslist was really nice, actually.
There
was some weird stuff.
I'm sure you got some crazy stories with Craigslist.
No, there's some weird stuff on it. But the one I got lucky. This lady needed an assistant for a shoot that she was doing for Chase.
Okay.
Like the bank?
The bank.
For photos.
No way.
And I was like, I know how to assist. I could like carry some equipment. So, and then I ended up helping her cast because she knew I could do casting. So that was like another month project that got me through another month. So I got lucky. I don't think I spent too much of my savings because I was hustling. Like, as soon as I got here,
right,
I was just taking hustle. Anything and everything that I felt was benefiting me in some sort of way.
Right. So you weren't just taking anything, but something that was somewhat directed towards being a filmmaker.
Yeah, no, definitely. I didn't take anything that wasn't filmmaking related. And I think the reason I could have done that was because of my savings. I had that cushion,
right,
that I saved up in college. And I used that to my advantage to the point where I said, hey, like, I'm going to get a cheaper apartment. So yeah. I didn't come out here and get the nicest apartment. Right, I came out here and got like a decent apartment where I'm safe, but at the same time, I'm not spending, you know, $2,000 a month.
You're not blowing all your money right there.
So I was very smart with like my money. So that way when the jobs came that I wanted and they weren't paying as much, I still took them because I knew like that was better for my long-term goals.
Right.
And that, I think that philosophy has helped me tremendously because the reason I am where I am like right now, 2 years in LA, is because of like my idea of producing stuff that would lead me to the next thing, not focusing on making a little extra money.
Living or dead, who would you like to eat a meal with?
I think the answer to that would be David Fincher.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because to me, I think he's such a, like a case study, you know, like the way he directs and how many takes he does and the performances he gets out of his actors. And he's living, so that means I could actually have lunch with him.
And then
or dinner.
Yeah, exactly. A meal, you know.
A meal, could be
coffee.
Yeah. But that would be amazing because I think also my personality and his kind of match because he's like a, like, he's just honest, you know?
Right.
Like, he's not going to lie to you. He's not going to, like, sugarcoat stuff. He's just going to go for it. And I love that sort of attitude, and the
raw mentality.
I get along with him pretty well. Yeah.
I think one of the first things I saw that he did, or at least knew what I was looking at that he did, was a couple House of Cards episodes.
That was fantastic.
Like, I was like, oh, man, that's great.
He's got skill, yeah.
That is so good.
And then have you seen the movie Seven?
Is that with Brad
What's
Pitt?
What's in the box?
Yes.
What's in the box?
Yes, dude. Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know that he did that movie. Yeah.
Oh.
Talk about, like, I mean, there's like a whole case study online of like every shot and what it means and how he thought
really?
Of it. Really? It's mind blowing, man.
Did he do Social Network?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that was David Fincher.
Written by Aaron Sorkin.
He did so many,
directed
man.
By. Yeah, Social Network, especially that opening scene, is amazing with at the bar.
Yeah.
So good.
That's a good director.
Okay, so. I mean, obviously, like movies. I could talk about movies forever. Let's dig into that a little bit more. What movie would you want to, or would you have liked to have directed or created? That you've seen.
Oh man!
So you're like, oh man, I wish I'd not done that.
Oh,
or that would have been.
I mean, as far as
your
like,
style, maybe.
I love Avatar. Well,
okay.
And then I also like. The Batman movies.
Oh yeah, Dark Knight.
Dark Knight is probably the best, in my opinion, out of them all.
Yeah.
Just the Joker, just that movie alone. Like I could watch it 10, 20 times over. And I feel like a lot of people would agree.
I think so.
That's a great
movie. I would say, yeah. I mean, anything Christopher Nolan, I'm a big fan of. I will say Dunkirk was a little bit more...
I kind of like that.
I mean, I liked it, but it's not one that I would go back to and watch again necessarily.
I mean, as from like a filmmaking perspective, the fact that like the amount of dialogue he had in that is mind-blowing, the fact that it was still interesting.
That's true.
So I think
I'll give you that.
From that perspective,
that's
like...
true. The lack of dialogue was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you are watching that and you're going, no one's really spoken yet.
Exactly. And I think for movies, it's about like pushing the boundaries, you know?
Right.
Like A Quiet Place. Have you seen that movie?
I've not yet.
Oh my gosh. We don't want to spoil anything for your audience.
Yeah, exactly. Don't spoil it for me.
But talking about pushing boundaries, that's like Dunkirk sort of vibe where like for half the movie, there is nothing. Like
no
nothing
dialogue.
Said, but yet you're so involved.
Right.
And I think that's... that's what makes movies great. It's not the talking, like.
Right.
I think that's actually the problem with movies. Is a lot of the time.
Oh, dude.
Dialogue absolutely. Explains everything.
There's too much exposition.
Exactly.
That's a good point because, you know, there's the age old adage of show don't tell.
Right.
And I think definitely, I mean, I haven't seen all movies, but I feel like, at least in my era of growing up and watching movies, there's like. My brother and I talk about it all the time. It's like this third act drag where there's just exposition, or even when you're kind of moving, the story moves along only when people tell it to move along and they explain it.
Instead of feeling or showing it.
Showing it and really having those characters emote. There's somebody saying, we need to go. You know, it's like a procedural drama. We need to go
get the guy. That was the bad guy. And everybody's like, yes, we should. And then they fight.
And then they fight.
Right? And then they have like 30-minute fight. Yeah. And then they go back and they go, we have conquered the guy. Right. Like that's how I feel like the movies have gotten.
And then the bad guy has to, you know, when the hero is at his lowest point and we think all hope is lost, the hero monologues.
Yep.
And then...
I've lost everything. I think that's the problem.
You took everything from me and I'm here to take it back. That's actually what happens in The Incredibles. You got me monologuing. And then, there you go. Yeah.
Anyway. Although Deadpool, I think, so in terms of that, the new Deadpool man talks so much, like makes fun of Hollywood, I feel like.
That's a different type.
I think it's
self-aware. And I do, yeah, I like Deadpool. I like the
new one is even, I feel like the new one is as good or might be better than the first one.
Really? I haven't even seen.
I got MoviePass, so I'm trying to see.
Oh, yeah. I was like, dang, dude, you're like up on all of these.
$10 a month. We're not even sponsored by them.
Yeah,
but exactly. I feel like it's not that bad of a deal.
That's a free shout out right there.
That's right. Although I must say, if you're thinking about it, there's not enough movies. So unless like you just don't mind spending a little extra money, you know, and not seeing every movie, only good ones, then maybe it's not for you. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. If you're going to be judicious, then.
Then probably not.
Don't do it.
Because, you know, like have one movie that you want to see. So it's like $10 a movie. So it's the same price as not applying for the.
Exactly. That's just ticket cost.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Okay. So what are some of your other favorite movies?
Oh, I mean, the thing about movies for me, I feel like is I like movies that have like I want to feel something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the superhero movies
there are only
a few that do like a good job of doing that, but I feel like majority of them aren't good.
Yeah.
In terms of like a feeling, like when you walk away, you should like feel something or like relate to it.
Sure.
Instead of just see a cool fight.
Yeah, you know?
But I think most recently, thinking back, is like Taxi Driver. I mean, the typical Steven Spielberg, any movie that he makes. I mean,
yep.
I think the reason I like Steven Spielberg's movies is not because he's Steven Spielberg, but because he knows how to get the emotion, the audiences to feel something.
Right.
So I think when it comes to those kind of movies, that's what I like. So for me, I like all kinds of movies. I mean, Social Network was a good one.
Yep.
Well done in terms of emotion and in terms of fact.
Yep.
What was the movie? McDonald's one.
The Founder.
The Founder. Talk about a good movie.
That was makes a you crazy. Feel too. Yeah. That was so interesting because, one, I had absolutely no idea about that story.
It was real.
Yeah. And then you like look it up and I think the movie did a pretty good job of being accurate. I'm sure there were details or whatever, but overarching, it's like that guy, that's the epitome of just hustling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so to an extent, I mean, I think he was kind of a crotchety old man.
Yeah.
But that's hustle, man. That's just, I don't know. I liked it.
No, I love it.
I think a similar one is the Matthew McConaughey, is it Gold or something?
Yes, that story was pretty
crazy too.
The only one that I could think of when it comes to McConaughey right now is Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh my goodness.
What a great movie.
Did you like it?
I liked it.
Did you?
I liked it.
Okay, I liked it.
Because I've heard some people say, like, oh, it's horrible. It was so entertaining. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it was so entertaining. And then even, I think that art can be either, I mean, not to just limit these two, but overarching, art is either a mirror of our reality,
right?
Or it's prescriptive in that it's like, this is what it could be.
I agree.
And I think that one was a mirror. It wasn't saying this is what it should be. I think this is saying what it is.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to feel that debauchery. We're supposed to feel that excess, that gluttony. And I don't think that we're supposed to think that what he was doing and the way he was behaving was the way we should be.
No.
Right? Like, you know. Because I've heard some people, their critique is, and perhaps this is just them in general, but, you know, oh, I don't watch movies with that much swearing or whatever.
Right.
That kind of debauchery. I think, you know what? that's happening in life. That is reflective of it.
I think it's real too.
Yeah, I think it's real. Right, exactly. I think that's really happening, and that's a culture in our society in Wall Street, and I think it was done really, really well. Where it wasn't, oh, we need to tame it so that more people can watch it. We're just showing it like it is.
No, I think that's the reason why I really enjoyed it, because it was so, there was so much access.
Yeah.
And that's the word.
Yeah.
Access. Yeah. There's so much like just rich. The fact that he was so rich and he had everything. And like,
yeah,
I think that's what makes a good story, is because you feel for the guy.
Right.
Right. He has everything. He might have did it wrong.
Right.
But he hustled.
Yeah.
And he found a way to make that money. I mean, he defrauded a lot of people.
Right.
But in the end, I think we walk away with saying to ourselves, hey, like, he chose that and he got what he deserved. Mm-hmm. But we feel an emotional sort of, I don't know, we feel kind of how he feels, because I feel like a lot of times we get into certain situations where we think we need something. Right. And we get it, and then we, you know, we become that person that has all that access.
Yeah.
And yet we're not happy, or
right.
That leads us
the exact opposite. Because in the end, he wasn't. Way. Yeah, he didn't. He had everything. And what's the like first line of the movie? Oh, yeah, he's like, by the age of 26, I made $39 million or $49 million.
Oh yeah.
Which really pissed me off, because it was three shy of a million a week.
There you go, exactly.
And so it just starts out, and it's like such a distinct character. It's like such a good choice. You know, this isn't somebody that you think, oh yeah, he's kind of a guy.
Yeah.
You know, you have like a definitive opinion about this guy, like right. immediately. Right. And the whole movie's like that.
I feel like anyone living in LA or trying to live the lifestyle of actor, filmmaker.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like some of us, not all of us, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But some of us feel that sort of same idea of like, I want to be a celebrity, right? I want access.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's why that movie resonates with so many, because everyone down deep inside would love to make $39 million by the time they're 26.
Exactly.
But it's not good for everybody, as we found out in that movie. Like, exactly. It wasn't good
and
for
the
that
way
guy.
He goes about it and the way he behaves. Like, I don't think that you have to kind of be okay with the way he lived his life to like the movie.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think you can learn a lot from it.
Right. It's like a cautionary tale. It's like, dude, that kind of gluttonous more can lead to this.
Yeah.
And I think that really boils down with whether you've made $49 million in your life or whatever.
Right.
Or not. There's some things that kind of boil down to what it means to be human and kind of want more, want money, want comfort, want love, whatever.
Yeah.
That anybody can really kind of see in. And I think that probably helps make him a more believable character, one that we still care about and why we continue watching the movie.
Yeah, no, I had a conversation with some friends outside. We have like a table like right outside my apartment.
Yeah.
And we're all here. I think mainly here in this apartment, there's like all actors and filmmakers and photographers.
Okay. Yeah.
So we hang out and, you know, we cook and grill.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and one of my friends just, you know, got on a feature film and traveled somewhere.
Oh, nice.
I think it was Washington.
Okay.
Somewhere in the middle of nowhere, but with beautiful beaches.
Sure.
To shoot this movie. And he just came back and I was like, hey, what's new? And he told me. And he's like, well, I just got another audition. Like, this is bigger this time. And I thought to myself, like, I think a lot of times, just like in that movie, right? Like, we want the next thing. We want to get bigger. We want to get richer. We want to. Right. We don't realize, I think, I told him, I was like, hey, man, like, but you just did a movie. Like, you were there.
Right.
They paid for your expenses. Like, there's so many people here in LA that aren't doing that,
that don't have
that opportunity, right? And you're now here moving on to the next thing. So reflecting on that, I just thought back to the times where, you know, why aren't we appreciative of the opportunity that we have? You know, like truly be appreciative, and then fine, move on. But like, give it some time where like you appreciate that opportunity. Right?
Kind of recognize that, that's like a rung in the ladder. Don't just run over that.
Right, because I feel like sometimes we run over it and we keep going until we crash and we're like, we're not happy. Well, because we didn't truly like focus on the moments.
Yeah.
We like missed some moments because we were so focused on the next thing.
Right.
So it's interesting. I think that movie hits home in that sense, because the guy had everything.
Yeah.
And in the end,
he had nothing.
Yeah. So he missed everything.
Yeah.
You know?
He had everything of perhaps the wrong stuff. Or at least that it's not
He didn't need it.
Real. Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. So he was after something that I feel like actually hurt him.
Yeah.
Because he, I mean, he's still a smart man. Like, it's based on a true story. So.
Sure. Yeah.
What was his name?
Jordan Belfort.
Belfort. Yeah. I mean, he's teaching people how to live their lives right now after he went to jail for
and so
defrauding a bunch of people.
Exactly.
He's learned from a criminal. Hey, yeah. Hey guys, my name is Jordan.
What you need to do is take out your checkbook.
And also give me money.
It's
and,
spelled B-E-L.
No. Sell me a pen.
Yeah, sell me this pen.
Oh, man.
Dude, that scene, there was so much in that movie. Not to mention, we haven't even talked about just the craftsmanship of it and the acting.
Oh wow.
And so much of it.
It's all amazing. But I think it's so relatable to real life. That's why I love that movie.
Yeah.
Because it is so like dirty and so so like extravagant.
Right. Like, yeah, it's over the top.
I can't believe what's happening, but at the same time, it's a possibility. Somebody's living that life.
Living that life. And he lived that life.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. Thinking back on it.
Yeah.
I'd love to live that life, but I realize that's not the...
Well, I think I would spend my money differently. I wouldn't mind having $49 million, but I would spend it differently.
But if you had so much money, I think money is not an object. Like, you just spend it just to spend it.
Right.
You know, like, there's no, like, value to money anymore when you have so much of it.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, you want this? Sure, you can have it.
Yeah.
There's no sort of, like, understanding of...
It's not... It doesn't mean the same thing.
No.
It loses its value.
Yeah, because there's so much of it. I think access is always bad, obviously, right? As we know.
That's kind of interesting, too, because when you have... It's like on both ends of the money spectrum, money loses its value. If you don't have any, then...
You need
you're
it.
Like,
you want it.
But even like just not having money, you're like, well, I just would love to have like food. You know what I mean? Like you're not... Money... like loses value when it doesn't exist,
right?
And then it loses its value when it's the only thing that's around you.
True. Yeah.
And so you know everyone else kind of lives somewhere in the middle, but
you need to find that middle, otherwise that,
yeah, exactly. Where otherwise you're just literally throwing it away.
Yeah. No, I think money is, though, talking about money, I think a lot of people, that's another thing in LA, I feel like people think money is dirty. You know, like, especially if you're an actor, you don't, like, I have met some actors where they don't want to work, like, a waitress job.
Oh, interesting.
Because they say, well, that's not my dream, so why would I do that?
Oh, right.
You know, and so they end up maybe living under their means and not paying their rent, or they can't afford it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think it's all a balancing act, right? At the end of the day, you need to become an actor, so you need to work on acting stuff. Yeah. We also have to pay a rent to be in LA. So I think a lot of people here, at least in my opinion, I don't know if you've noticed that too, but they have this idea of that money is bad and that you should avoid it unless it's with what you want to do.
Right.
So if you make it through acting, then they're okay with it. But anything else, they're like, oh, you're I can't not. Be doing that. Yeah. Like, it's not part of my acting. And so I don't know. I think it's interesting because you have to be a businessman or a businesswoman.
Right. You have to be practical.
Yeah, practical, and then you got to do your art because
you
can't do your art if you can't live near your place that you can do your art at.
Totally.
So I think that's another
interesting... I totally have met people who are purists in their art form, in a sense, where, if it's not perfect...
They're not going to do it.
They're not going to do it. And I think... That's crazy.
No, I think so too. Yes. I mean, talk to a financial planner. They're going to think you're psycho.
Right.
Because you are, if something bad happens, your dream is done. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to have to pay for that dream. Yeah. I mean, for that emergency, not that dream.
Right.
You're not going to be able to take acting
classes.
You're
going to lose it all. You're going to lose it all if you don't balance it.
Right. I think that's so business-minded is probably is as important as your talent.
Totally. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, being able to split your time. I think that's why it's a hustle.
Yeah.
It's because you got to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
And then
you just got to make sure you're making moves towards your goal and why you moved out here.
And you're not going to love everything you're doing.
Right.
Like my parents always say that to me. They're like, Dan, the first job you're going to find, you'll probably hate. The second job, you're probably going to hate, but hate a little less. The third job, the fourth. And I was like, this sounds so depressing. Right. Yeah. Like, what is life?
You need to sell life to me here. Great.
But I mean, it makes sense, right? Because you're not going to do your dream job first. Otherwise, what would you be aiming for the rest of your life?
And I think we put an overemphasis on the people who make it. Like make small, it 12.
Yeah, small. Yeah.
Child stars and whatnot.
Exactly.
You're like, dude, there's 1,000 of those people in the world.
That's a small percentage.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh yeah, I'm the next Bill Gates.
Right.
But Bill, that's 1 in 6 billion.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there's other billionaires.
Yeah.
But Bill Gates is like the third, fourth, maybe fifth richest guy in the world.
Is he second?
Maybe he's second, yeah.
I think Bezos is first.
Bezos is first now.
Definitely first.
He took over.
Yeah, dude. He made a couple billion just by raising Amazon Prime.
Oh, my gosh.
Make it $10 more.
We look at those people and we're like, oh, you know, like, that's what I'm aiming for.
Right.
But they're an outlier. Like, how much work do they have to go through? How many smart moves do they have to do?
Yeah.
How many times do they sit when everybody else was partying?
Right.
Like, I watch those videos all the time, and all it shows to me is, there is no shortcut. Like, you have to work.
Right.
And over time, that work will translate into money, opportunities, and everything else. But if you don't work, I mean, if you won't take the waitress job because you're too good for it.
Right.
How are you going to be able to pay for your acting classes that's going to take you to the next level?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Acting classes are not free. They're very expensive.
They're very expensive. And they would love for you to just keep taking those.
Oh, of course. They want you to take them for the rest of your life.
Exactly. They have a vested interest in you never making it, but never losing the dream.
They're like, dream big, but be here.
Dream as big as this room and as big as your pocketbook.
There you go, exactly. And then we're happy.
And then, yeah, and then, but you can be it. You can make it.
Exactly. No, I think LA life is very interesting.
It is. I mean, I lived in the Midwest, grew up in the Midwest, and coming out here, it's a very different world. It looks very different. I think there's a lot of different priorities and emphasis and whatnot. But what I like about here, and I think why I came back, is because I can do this. I can contact somebody. I can contact people. And there's just this massive network of seemingly infinite talent.
Right.
And, you know, I can create, and there's people that'll create with me. While I don't think there's not that posture. There's nice people in the Midwest, but that just would seem so weird for me to say, hey, I'm doing a podcast.
And they're like, what?
What?
What's the point?
What do you do? Oh, I write. You know, that would just be so foreign to them.
I think that's the beauty of LA, man.
I mean, there's
downsides to that too, because everybody's doing it. Because
everybody's doing it.
I'm a writer. Me too. Me too. Me too. Me too.
Me too. Me too.
It's like a whole echo through the room.
Yeah.
Everybody writes. And they also act and produce and direct. But I think it's nice though, because at the same time, you do meet some very talented people that are creative and that want to work on projects with you on a whim.
Right.
That want to do model shoots, whatever it is, they don't think twice. They just know that the mission or the goal is to move forward.
Right. The creation of that piece.
Correct. And so I think that's nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's fake, you know, people and there's people that think they're more talented than they are.
Right.
But that's human. That's anywhere.
Right. And you'll weed those people out by continuing to work.
Yeah.
And when those people don't show up or when those people don't want to engage, then you just, you know that, hey, you know what? They have different priorities and we're going to just keep hustling, keep creating.
Yeah. So I think it's nice. I think I'm glad I'm here.
You
know?
Definitely.
I think there's always so many things that you can work on.
Yeah.
You know, I could call up my friend today and be like, hey, let's shoot something tomorrow.
Right.
And if, you know, she's free, like, we're shooting it.
Yep.
You know, we're not worried about, oh, like, wait, like, let's wait another week or two to find a sound guy. We could find a sound guy in 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's LA. Exactly. There's no red tape when you just know everybody.
No, and everybody's here for a similar reason, so.
Exactly. No, it's so true. If you didn't live in LA, though, where would you live?
Well, I thought about that. And I think, so my job, because I'm a producer.
Yeah.
A director of photography / editor.
Yeah.
So I'm producing
a
project.
A five-tool guy right there.
I'm producing a project from the pitch all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so because of that, I could be anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, because my position's remote, I edit, I send it to the client. or the company that I work for.
Right.
And they have the video, and now I can move on to the next project.
Yeah.
I could live anywhere. I'm always going back to San Diego.
Yeah.
Or Colorado. Just
Colorado.
You know what makes me happy, I realized?
What's that?
Like, doing this job, I travel a lot to, like, forests and places in the middle of nowhere where you just see beautiful stars. And
right.
You could take pictures of stars because they're so visible.
Yeah. There's no light pollution.
Exactly. And that's not LA. Yeah. And so it makes you happy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no cell service.
Right.
Right? So you're not on your Instagram or on your Facebook always, you know, scheming, trying to find whatever somebody else is doing.
Yeah.
Like, I get to focus on, like, what I'm doing and, like, the environment. And so being around trees and, like, just the fact that I don't have access to social media, I've honestly found, like, that's my happy place now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, oh, I want to direct this big movie. Now I'm like, I just want to enjoy, like, every trip I take, because I know I'm young.
Yeah.
And for me to, like, be able to travel, I'm, like, very fortunate. And so
sure.
I take that, I try not to take that for granted. So I, you know, I was in the car on my last trip, and I just thought to myself, like, I have a small camera in my hands that's capable of, like, 4K video, right? This is 2018. I have a small, tiny camera. I look like a guy with a point and shoot.
Right.
But I'm shooting, like, content for a real company, and I'm getting, you know, food paid for and all that. So I'm, like, truly enjoying this moment.
Yeah.
So it's nice to, like, I don't know, just reflect and, you know, don't just move on to the next thing. Like, focus on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And kind of enjoy it.
Being present.
Yeah.
And that can definitely be hard in LA, because it's just what's next, what's next, what's next,
right.
What's next. And you can, kind of like what you're talking about with your actor friend who just... next project, next project, next project.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude.
Right.
Smell the cedar forest.
Smell the roses.
Smell the roses, man. Smell the aspens in Colorado.
No, I think
see the stars.
I think another thing that I'm realizing, I always thought of, like, social media as so important to my life.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, as running, like, a little production company here and there and trying to get more clients.
Sure.
It is.
Yeah.
But for that reason.
Right.
So I'm kind of a selfish, like, social media user.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to post, but I'm not going to, like, look at your stuff every day. Right. Like, you know, you might be looking at mine.
I want you to look at my stuff, but I'm not going to look at your stuff.
It's bad, but it's, like, my business move, you know?
Sure.
I don't do it intentionally to be, like, a terrible human.
Right.
Not reciprocating that love.
Right.
But I think of it as, like, or happiness, right? You're you're spending so much time on social media, and you're looking at whatever else somebody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You forget to live your life.
Totally.
So I'm not looking because I don't want to look at your life, but I'm looking for the sake of me. Like, I don't want to think that I'm not doing enough.
Right.
Or, you know, I don't want
to compare yourself.
Exactly, because I think that's the problem.
Absolutely. I've always been a fan of the social medias that require me to put the least of myself on the social media.
Exactly.
So, like, Facebook, they want your favorite movies, and they want, like, what are you thinking right now?
Right.
You know, I've always really been a fan of Twitter, but I think Twitter, even Twitter has gotten, there's so much that you can kind of consume, and there's articles and whatever.
Right.
But I was like, I've always been a really big fan of Snapchat. Because you put it up there. There's one thing to do and there's one thing to look at, which is you put a video or a picture up, and I'm talking, like, older iterations of Snapchat.
Okay.
Right? Like, because now, again, you can swipe and they want you, obviously they want you spending more time in their app.
Yeah.
So they do things to get you there.
All for advertisers.
Right. All for advertisers.
Trying to make money.
Exactly. Exactly.
Time is money, literally, on Snapchat.
Yeah, exactly. And they're even in hot water because they're not making as much money as they could be. And not, you know, getting their users, not making conversions or whatever. But the initial iterations of Snapchat where you just posted a picture and you looked at a picture from somebody else or from your friends or whatever, I really liked that, where it was like, oh, cool. I'm done with the app.
It was simple.
Right? It was 30 seconds and the app is closed and I only open it to put something else up there after 24 hours.
Right. Right.
And it was just, there was something really beautiful about that.
Yeah.
As opposed to Facebook, which is intentionally infinite streaming.
Post everything. Everything.
What else can we get you to put on here?
Yeah. I think social media is a good thing overall.
Yeah.
I just think that if you consume too much of it, which I find a lot of people around me do.
Yeah.
And they're unhappy, man.
Right.
Right. And I'm like, I know why you're unhappy. Because you're not only posting it as a business tool, you're now consuming everyone's life. Somebody's in Hawaii. Somebody's, and now you're not doing nothing. How do you feel?
Right.
You feel terrible.
You go, oh man, I'm not in Hawaii.
Exactly.
I'm here in LA.
It's a killer. It's like, the studies say it causes depression and stuff like that.
So yeah, I've read that.
For me, I only use it as a business tool. I am kind of selfish in that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay because at the end of the day, right, what are we there to show? It's an ad. We're making an ad for ourselves every single day.
What it
is. You choose to view my ad or you don't, I'm not going to be offended.
Trolling.
You know, totally. So if you like what you're seeing, cool. If not,
follow me or don't.
Exactly. It doesn't hurt me in any way. Right. I'm not trying to be 100,000 deep. You know, I'm trying to make $100 for a photo. And, you know, that's not my dream. So.
No, dude.
That's my view on that. Sorry, we got deep into the social media.
I know, we started talking about Wolf of Wall Street, and then all of a sudden we're like, I hate Twitter.
No, hey, don't get us wrong.
Follow me on Twitter, at Jens Tuin.
Follow me on Instagram, DGP Official. So if you want.
That said, we're still ball and chain linked to it.
We are, but just remember, I'm going to only post business stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not going to look at your stuff, so probably no one follow me.
I won't look at your stuff unless it'll get me a follow.
And then as soon as I follow you and you think I followed you for being nice, you're going to follow me back and then boom, I'm going to unfollow you. Just like everybody else.
Follow for follow and then unfollow.
I hate that.
Oh
man.
My gosh.
What a waste of time.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dan, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Do you have anything to leave our listeners with? Do you have a tagline or any sage advice?
Oh man, sage advice? I would say...
Or bad advice. What's the worst advice you've ever gotten?
I would say since we talked a lot about LA...
Yeah.
I would say just be real. Like, be authentic.
Mm.
And as cliche as it sounds, get off social media and start living.
Hashtag start living, folks.
I'm serious.
No, it's so true, dude.
I'm so serious. Hashtag start living.
Yeah. Because
we're all dead right now. We're all watching somebody else go to Hawaii. You go to Hawaii.
Go to Hawaii.
That's right.
I've never been to Hawaii.
You go to Hawaii.
If you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. If you liked it, share it with your friends. If you didn't, let me know why on Instagram. My handle is JENSTUIN. That's just my first and last name. I'd love to hear your feedback and hear what you thought of it. Every week, I'll be posting new episodes of It's Pronounced Jens with me, Jens Tuin. Once again, thank you all for listening. If by chance you're still listening, or perhaps you noticed that the time code does indeed have some time left, you're right. Dan and I spoke for nearly 2 hours and I had to trim a lot down, but here's some bonus footage for you guys who are still listening. Roll tape! So going back to movies, what kind of movies do you like? What kind of movies you said that you like movies that make you feel, that kind of bring out the emotion. Is there an era? Is there a genre of movies that you like?
Because I'm single, I feel like I'm like going towards romantic comedies nowadays.
Really?
Yeah.
Help you fall asleep at night?
I feel like when I'm single, that's what I want to do, right? Is the romantic comedies.
Yeah.
And then when I'm dating someone... You know, I want more of like the thrillers. I love like...
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, with my girlfriend, watching thrillers.
You have to hold her close. Exactly. You know? You're like, oh, I'm scared, honey.
Exactly. It's all for the cuddles.
So your movies are directly correlated to your relationship status.
Correct. So right now...
Social media, take note. Facebook is like, okay, great. When Dan is liking these photos and these things...
Oh, they already know. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They already know. But no, I'm a fan. I love thrillers. If they're like well done.
Yeah.
Oh, I love thrillers, man. The fact that you just don't know what happened and how it got there. You're like, whoa. Prisoners.
Dude, I stay away from thrillers.
Really?
Like scary movies.
Oh man, Prisoners. Oh.
Prisoners, who's in it?
Wait a second. Who's in it? That's a good question. I don't know how to answer that one.
Favorite movie?
Right off the Prisoners. Top of my head. And not my favorite movie, but no, I enjoyed that good. Movie. Just by the name.
Yeah.
As far as, so here's another secret of mine.
Yeah.
When it comes to like movies,
yeah,
I enjoy movies.
Yeah.
But now you ask me all the actors in the movies? Can't tell you.
Okay.
Directors? I could do okay if I truly loved the movie.
Yeah.
I'll find out the director and I'll know the director who did it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like actors and stuff, I have a hard time. Put me on the spot. I look like a guy who has never watched a movie in his life.
You're like, dude, I thought you liked movies.
I mean, a lot of my time is, I feel like you got to spend a lot of time learning actors and stuff like that. Yeah.
No, it's like baseball cards.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You're like, who was third base for the Yankees in the 82
right,
Olympics?
Right.
And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put my time, I don't know. I think my time is spent. Maybe that's where I'm not a good movie buff.
Right.
I just love the craft of creating.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
I think that's what I am about. Because I know a lot of movie buffs that are not very good filmmakers. But they're movie buffs.
Right.
Like, they make more me of look like a, terrible.
Right. There's that. Like statistical analysis aspect of it,
right,
where they can rattle off, oh, this was the director, this was the actor or actress or whatever,
right,
and then tell you three movies that those actors or actresses have been in as well.
Right.
It's like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever, exactly, right? Yeah.
And there's so many movies I feel like I watched. I try to watch a movie almost every day.
Yeah.
And I every other day, I think, is what yeah, it has become.
Like the full movie, or will you just kind of watch scenes?
If I've seen the movie multiple times, I'll only watch scenes.
Yeah.
I really dislike watching the same movie over and over,
yeah,
unless I haven't watched it in a while.
Right, right.
Because I already know what's going to happen. And for me, it's more analyzing like the scenes. Then it becomes more of a class for me.
Yeah.
Of analyzing the per scene or how they did it or like why did they shoot the way they shoot it.
Totally.
But I watch a lot of movies, so I think that's why it comes down to like, I'm just terrible with actors' names.
Right, yeah. Because you have so many movie titles up there.
Yeah, and people don't even like think I'm a filmmaker because they're like, well, you can't name your favorite movie?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, maybe I don't have one. Like, I like a lot of movies.
Yeah.
There's a lot
of movies. That really is such a tough question.
Yeah.
Because when you're like, what is your favorite movie? And you're like, I don't know if I could... My favorite?
Good Will Hunting, though, is up there.
See, Good Will Hunting's up there. Yeah.
I like that
That's
one
a great
a lot.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt Damon.
See, I mean, I would start, I feel like there's like eras too where, because I often think, oh man, 80s, 90s movies, I love those. Any of the, you know, like if Harrison Ford was in it.
What's your favorite movie? You got one?
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know, dude. I for whatever reason, I'm thinking of like Lord of the Rings right now.
Oh,
the trilogy.
Classic.
So good. But yeah, no, if you put me on the spot, I'm kind of like, I mean, rom-coms, if you're talking about rom-coms, A True Romance.
Yeah.
That one is great. I like that one.
Serendipity.
Serendipity?
Have you seen that one?
No.
It's an interesting one.
Who's in that? You don't know.
Well, I gotta ask. Put me on the spot every day.
Great Walked movie, right into that one.
Serendipity is a great movie, though.
Serendipity.
I haven't seen it in a while. But I remember when I watched it, it hit me, man.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of times, the whole movie is these people randomly meet.
Okay.
I love that kind of stuff because I truly believe in life, you meet people that are exactly the people you need to meet.
Mm.
You just don't know how it happened.
Right.
And then you can only reflect 10, 20 years back on it. You're like, how did we meet?
Right.
Or why did we meet? Oh, now it makes sense because...
And they fulfill something in your life or make that connection or whatever.
So it's like destiny almost.
Yeah.
So this movie is all about that. Like this girl and a guy, they meet and he's like, oh, she's like, I'm not going to give you my phone number.
Okay.
But if it's destiny, we'll meet again.
Oh, snap.
And sure enough, they met again.
That's a good premise, man. You got me right there. I'll watch that.
Yeah. No, it's good. Serendipity.
Yeah.
It's a new good word too.
Yeah, it is.
When things happen, like it's based on destiny that things happen. I think that's what the meaning is.
I think so.
I might be wrong.
Serendipitous?
I'm no Englishman.
Like it was meant to happen.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And there's like an essence that it's all good.
Yeah.
Not like it happened because of destiny and you died.
No. It's all good. It's not Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like meant to be a bad ending.
Oh, who did that? Romeo and Juliet. That was another. I liked that. I don't know why I think it's Baz Luhrmann, but there was that iteration of Romeo and Juliet where it was like with modern day, but still with the old English.
I think speech. I know what you're talking about, like the gangsters and stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. I watched it in class, I feel
like. I think I saw it in a film class, dude.
I don't think I would ever watch it otherwise.
Yeah. I just remember, I like those movies. I think if you were to ask me what my favorite movie is, I would say I like movies where there's very distinct characters, where it's not just, where you're just like,
they're all the same, but basically,
right? Who's this guy? She's girl next door. Yeah. Who's this guy? He's you know, Joe, whatever.
Yeah,
average Joe guy. I like when it's like, dang, dude, that character is like so distinct, and they have like a very well developed personality.
Yeah,
and the actor does a good job of kind of acting inside of that personality.
Character driven stuff for you, huh?
Yeah.
I feel that, yeah.
I'm thinking of like Alex and Emma because we were talking about rom-coms.
Yeah,
have you ever seen that one?
I watched that by a while ago. I don't remember
anything. It's older. Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
But he's just, I don't know. Is it Luke Wilson? Owen? No, it's Luke Wilson.
When Harry Met Sally. Like
when Harry Met Sally.
That's how far we're going.
Yeah, exactly.
That I remember because
while you were sleeping.
Oh my gosh, when Harry Met Sally. Yeah. Yep. That's another classic
thing. Yeah, see, that was another good one where you have characters, I think they did a good job of like pitting them against each other.
Romantic, right
they
there.
Brought you around, yeah.
Shoot, I don't know, man. Sometimes
you've got mail.
Sometimes romantic comedies though make you depressed if you're single. It's like that'll never happen.
I know, right? Yeah, you're like, that's so unrealistic.
I quit. I don't even have time to go out and like visit the Eiffel Tower. That's where they met. How am I gonna meet my love of my
life?
There's
no sky deck here for the whatever Empire State Building.
Yeah, like we meet in coffee shops. Hey, how are you? I think you're cute.
Right? Hi. Oh wait, where are you going?
Well, if it's destiny, we'll meet again at the Starbucks. Like that's serendipity in our lives today.
All right, I'll check your location geotagged Instagram.
I'll slide into your DMs and we'll know it was real. Like that's today's romance. That's why I feel like I love going back to like the romance and the
there's like a nostalgia for a time we weren't even alive for.
Like the fact, for example, I met a girl.
Yeah.
And I got her phone number. Yeah. I'm amazed with myself too.
I met a girl.
It doesn't happen often. But I got her phone number and I called her.
Yeah.
And she answered and she's like freaked out.
Really?
Like she's freaked out. She's like, "You're calling me." I'm like, "Yes, I dialed your number because you gave it to me. She's like, "Well, I thought you would text me." I was like, "Well, I'm old school." She's like, "Can I call you back?" And sure enough, she texts me.
Oh, I'm like, no.
People are too scared to talk on the phone. She's not the one for me.
Yeah, right?
Like, no way. Come on.
That weeds them out.
That does. Like, talk on the phone. Like, we're human. We can talk. We're talking, like, face-to-face
right
now.
And that's, like, that's a very common thing that a phone does.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Have you heard of FaceTime? Could you imagine FaceTime?
Oh, if no, I that FaceTimed would be weird.
Girl, she would have called the cops on me. Creep.
Yeah. I hate FaceTime and I hate Skype. Oh, my goodness. I think part of it is because when I'm on the phone, I'm doing 8 other things. And I don't want you to see me doing 8 other things.
So you don't want to see the fact that you're not focused on what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Got
I'm like walking around. I'm like laying down, standing up, balancing on a chair.
Multitasking.
Yeah.
At its finest.
Or yeah, exactly. Or like I'm switching the laundry. And if it's like on my computer, then I'm like, well, just a second. Let me walk away and do something.
See, that's why phone calls are sometimes dangerous too. Like when you're dating someone for a long time, you'll just like let them talk. And you're not listening to a word they're saying.
No, yeah, that's true too.
So it gets to the point where like FaceTime, that's how they get you. They're like, let's FaceTime. You're like, no, I can't do anything else.
You know, it's a little bit dark in the room.
I can't see. My FaceTime doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also have to do a project while you talk to me for the next 2 hours.
Just keep texting.
So we're bad boyfriends. I guess that's what we're saying at the end of the day.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, we all have our flaws.
Indeed. Mine is that I don't like FaceTime. I'd say in the grand scheme of things,
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I have a lot more. We're not going to list them all, though, for this podcast.
Yeah, no, we don't have time for that.
Yeah. Too many.
Episode two.
If you want me back.
Yeah. I don't know if the viewers want you back, I guess.
Exactly.
We'll have to.
If they comment,
yeah.
Well, then be like, dude, do not have this guy back. I don't want to hear his issues.
Oh, man.
Sounds like he's got a lot. And I don't want to hear more about rom-com shit.
Yeah. That's so true. We're talking a lot about rom-coms. Just two guys talking about rom-coms.
In a room in L.A., you know, living the life.
Living it up.
Yep. I'm in the moment right now. That's why we're talking rom-coms. That's true, man. I'm just going to be honest.
We're in the moment. And I mean, honestly.
I'm not thinking about how big your podcast is going to be. I'm just thinking. I'm in the now.
Big of a flop or
whatever it is, big something.
Yeah. You know what? I just want it to be big, whether it's big and bad or big and good.
Hey, at least you find out.
At least you find out.
Yeah, there you go.
Fail fast, fail hard.
Fail forward.
Fail forward.
That's what Will Smith said.
Well, then it's true. Because he said it on Instagram.
I robot, baby. 100%.
Dude, that was a good one. I like that.
I robot?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Let's throw back. That's a little bit older.
Okay, when the dog died. I remember from that. Because it was so emotionally scarring.
Right.
The one friend he had. Gone.
Wait, is that I robot?
Yes.
Or is that I am legend?
I am legend. Larry, good point. Will Smith. Sorry, Will Smith. Got confused. You got two movies that literally look the same.
In terms of content. All my movies are the same.
Well, I, Robot and I Am Legend. Think about it. One's like a robot's taking over the world, and I Am Legend is
zombies.
Zombies taking over the world. It's basically the same premise.
Wow, yeah, that really is. One thing I liked.
You know how they hired him for that, right?
I don't.
Well, basically the story goes, they're like, hey, you want to do I, Robot? He's like, sure. They're like, we also have the same movie, but with the other, you know, with the zombies.
Zombies.
You want to do it? He's like, yeah, let's sign two contracts.
No.
No, I'm just fucking with you.
Okay, I think it's like, dude, when they get like a double discount deal with him, like, hey, man, we'll give you one movie for $8 million yep. or two for $10 million.
I feel like that's what happened, though. Because those movies, the fact that I mixed that up, A, I guess I'm not that much of a movie buff, so. Right. Or B, because they were too similar. You tell us. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I loved his leather chucks in iRobot.
Yep.
And then one time during Pi Day, like which is like March 14th in high school.
Yeah.
I had a pie and I ate it with a spoon.
You had a pie, I can't
while I was walking. And I did that because I saw it in iRobot.
Oh my gosh, dude, I've done that too.
And I was like,
Triple X, remember
the most gangster thing to take a pie and spoon it right out of the middle. Because that just says, this is my pie.
You got inspired.
I know.
Movies inspiring, man.
Dude,
Triple X, I grabbed a milkshake like right after the movie.
Yeah.
And I dipped my fries into it.
Right?
That's just like, what do you do?
Dude.
That's what happened in the movie. So
I saw it in the movie. So I'm going to just dip these fries in a milkshake.
And I even told the waitress, I was like, hey, the reason I'm doing this is because I saw it in the movie. She's like, you're a weirdo. I'm like, I know. But I love movies. So.
Facebook heard you and is now going, we need more fries and milkshakes in movies to sell more fries exactly. and milkshakes.
I'm going to open up Safari and be like, milkshakes and fries.
Yes, dude.
Stop following me, Facebook.
No.
Targeted ads, man. What is the world coming to?
Targeted ads.
Yes. It's getting worse and worse. Yeah. It's like, hey, man, I know I looked at that camera, but I don't want to buy it.
Right.
Six dude. Months later, dude.
Seriously.
Oh my gosh.
That's no kidding, man.
It's annoying. I am in marketing, so it's kind of funny how I say that.
Right.
And like my videos end up as ads.
Your videos are the ones.
Are the ones that pop up.
Oh, dude. People are like, go visit Colorado. And then all of a sudden, there's your starry-eyed footage.
Well, it's more like buy an RV, but yeah.
There you go.
Spend $200,000. But hey, you know.
Oh, man. Get a college education or buy an RV?
Easy choice. RV, dude.
Yeah. RV, man.
I need to keep my job. Come
all
on.
All the way. Yeah. You get an RV, then you make a YouTube channel, and then you're just driving all over the place.
Hey, as far as I know, you can use an RV. I'm not sure about your degree.
Yeah, exactly.
In 2018.
Let's put it this way. Podcasts don't require a degree in economics.
There you go. Exactly.
Oh,
exactly
man.
My point.
No doubt. Well, I think we're going to have to call it just on the account of time.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been talking for a while.
No kidding. We really have.
It's gonna be like the longest podcast you've done.
It's up there, man. There's a lot of just solid stuff in here.